A lot of people are like, oh, follow your passions. You'll never work another day in your life. Well, a lot of those people are broke.
Here he is, Mr. John Lee Dumas.
Founder and host of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire.
The author of a new book called The Common Path to Uncommon Success.
John Lee Dumas.
I said to myself, I'm going to become the number one solution to a real problem in this world. I've created a very productive, very disciplined, very focused life that's allowing me the freedom to really spend my days how I want to spend them.
What's your secret to consistency?
People will beat a path to the doorstep of the number one solution to a real problem that they have. They will find you. Those first, couple years, they're very fragile. You're not making a lot of money. Like, you don't really know if it's going to work. You need to be polarizing. You must be controversial. You have to remember that it's love me or hate me, because there's no money in the middle.
If you were to give entrepreneurs a criteria for picking the right partner, what would it be?
Man, that's a big question.
How have you managed to anchor magic into the mundane to create the success that you have over 12 years?
I realized that that's what so many successful people have done. They've discovered how to become.
Well, JLD, absolute honor to have you on the Ginny Show. I've been following your career for a while. I mean, I've got about six of these. This really helped me not only build better habits around time management, but it also taught me to really prioritize what's important and make time for it when I was starting my first business, Ginny Media. So you're one of the most disciplined people I think I follow, right? You are so disciplined. You're so consistent. But there's been a few changes in your life in the last year. So I'm just curious, what does a day of chaos look like for JLD if it ever happens?
Yeah, well, honestly, I don't know how good my mic is, because if it's not that good, you're probably able to pick up some of that chaos in the background. We now have an 8-month-old son, Beau Arthur Dumas, whose initials wisely spell out bad, because, that's how we roll. And things can be a little chaotic sometimes. I mean, obviously, Kate's like a super mom, so she's picking up a lot of what needs to be picked up day to day as far as with Beau and everything that's around that, so I can keep doing what I need to do on the business side of things to keep things rocking and rolling. But that's one of the lovely things about growing a location independent business and having a great team and systems and processes and things that you briefly mentioned when it comes to the Mastery Journal about being productive, disciplined, focused. When you have those things in your back pocket and you know how to create a life around that, then you're able to spend a lot of time doing things like hang out with your son. I went to swim lessons with him yesterday. I fed him this morning. I put him to bed last night. I mean, there's a lot of cool things that you can do in your life when you have that freedom that, frankly, I know my dad did not have. He was a lawyer at the early stages of his career, busting his butt, creating a great life for our family, but paying the price for it, leaving the house before I woke up in the morning when I was a child, coming back, when I was already in bed, especially when I was super young. It paid off because, after a decade or so, he was able to take the foot off the gas a little bit. And he was very present as a coach and as a father and doing things along those lines. But he really missed a lot of the early stages. And I don't know if he regrets it. He may not. But I know that I would personally if I missed the early years of Beau. So I love the fact that I've created a very productive, very disciplined, very focused life that's allowing me the freedom to really spend my days how I want to spend them, which, by the way, is speaking with great people like you, is hanging out with an 8-month-old who's screaming his head off, and everything in between.
Right. So the discipline is the mastery of chaos, really, that you've been able to get to create for yourself. One thing that often gets overlooked and not talked about in entrepreneurship is the choice of a partner. Now, it seems like Kate has really been an ideal match for you in terms of being that supportive facilitator. And you guys also create together, but she's also a supportive facilitator of your business as well. If you were to give entrepreneurs a criteria for picking the right partner, what would it be?
Man, that's a big question, because I will say it's a huge reason for the success that we've had. I mean, me being able to, at 6 months in Entrepreneurs on Fire, which was, by the way, 12 years ago, to be able to go to Kate and say, hey, things are starting to kind of pick up here. Like, I know that you'd be great. Like, trust in this. Let's go. And her leaving her job and being a huge part of the business ever since then was so key, because those first couple of years, they're very fragile. You're not making a lot of money. Like, you don't really know if it's going to work. Is it not going to? And having like a teammate and a partner who's in it, who's experiencing the ups and the downs, who's picking you up when you're down and vice versa, because we're human beings. We're on an emotional roller coaster. Like, it's really important to realize that, you know, we need to be there for each other. And so that was just a really fortunate and lucky thing for me. And I do mean lucky, because, you know, when Kate and I started dating, Entrepreneurs on Fire wasn't even a dream of mine. You know, I was in commercial real estate and I thought that I might spend my career there. So I wasn't necessarily searching for a partner that would also make a good business partner. It happened to work out that way, but it was by no means like the initial criteria. But looking back, I mean, listen, it's just somebody who is committed to making the relationship work, like committed to making the emotional side, the work side, all the different sides that it takes to run a business and to run a life. And that's what's been great with Kate. And then, you know, of course, now that we've started a family, she's in a great position where she can really step back and still be a very important part and do a lot of really key things within our business. But just a lot less time is needed for her now. She can focus on other things. And that's been the evolution of a business that's frankly taken 12 years to build.
Building a business takes patience and putting one step in front of the other one day at a time. And it requires consistency. So James Clear has a great quote about this. He says, in theory, consistency is about being disciplined, determined, and unwavering. What's your secret to consistency? And how have you managed to like anchor magic into the mundane to create the success that you have over 12 years?
Magic into the mundane, I think that's a great phrase. For me, there's really a couple factors that are so important when it comes to being consistent. And one side of those factors is this: you've got to have passion. You've got to have enthusiasm. You have to have excitement for that thing you're doing. Because if you really do enjoy it, then it's really never super mundane, because you're getting some joy from doing that thing. But a lot of people are like, oh, follow your passions, you'll never work another day in your life. Well, a lot of those people are broke, because that's just one part of a two-part equation. The other part of the equation is you must have skills, knowledge, value that you're giving to the world within the thing that you're doing as a combination of being excited and enthusiastic about it. Because if you just are excited and enthusiastic, that's a hobby. You're probably broke. If you're just doing it because you're knowledgeable and have skills and you're adding value to the world, you're probably going to burn out, because it's going to become mundane to you. It has to be that zone of fire in the middle, where there's a combination of excitement and enthusiasm and passion, along with skills, knowledge, and value that you have. You have that melded zone of fire. And that's me. Like, I love speaking with really cool people. Like, I have zero problem scheduling a 15-minute call with somebody like yourself, because I like having conversations like this. I like meeting you. I like having conversations with you. I like the fact that other people can listen to this and maybe have their lives improved in some way, shape, or form. Like, I like all of those things. Tomorrow, I have 7 interviews for Entrepreneurs on Fire. I'm literally going to wake up, take my dog for a walk, have a cup of coffee, and then sit down in my studio. And I get to talk to 7 really cool people, have 7 really cool conversations. And for me, that's cool. For other people, by the way, that would not be cool. That would be stressful. That would be boring. That would be mundane. And they shouldn't be doing that. But I should be, because I really do love it. And for 4,486 episodes, I've been loving it. For 12 years, 7 days a week, I've been producing an episode. I've been releasing an episode of Entrepreneurs on Fire. And it has not gotten mundane. It just continues to be a source of inspiration for me to talk to really fun, exciting, cool people. And like, I'm not saying I'm super old, but I will say that I can remember very clearly looking and interacting with older people like in their 80s and 90s, and them just always being like, oh, it's such a breath of fresh air to speak to young people, because they're so vibrant. They're so full of life. That's how I feel a lot of times when I'm getting on with an inspiring entrepreneur. I'm like, this is like a breath of fresh air. Like, this person's excited. They're enthusiastic. They're adding real value to the world, and they might fail and they might succeed, but they're trying, and that's really exciting.
Part of the, I guess, strategy is figuring out what actually makes you passionate and tick. The other part that you touched on briefly is you mentioned your dad, how he was a lawyer, he got home, he was stressed, you didn't really see him. I am kind of exploring this myself too. When did you make that mindset shift and choice not to be like your dad?
The mindset shift that I had was a very simple one. It's become the number one solution to a real problem in this world. I honestly realized and recognized and discovered through reading books and consuming podcasts and various forms of education, I realized that that's what so many successful people have done across the board. They've discovered how to become the number one solution to a real problem in this world. And so I said to myself, I'm going to set out to accomplish that. I'm going to become the number one solution to a real problem in this world. I don't want to become the number two solution to a real problem. I don't want to become the number one solution to a problem, because if it's just a problem that's not super painful or a real problem, then it's not going to move the needle for people. Because if it's a nice to have, that people sometimes will get excited about it, sometimes they won't. But if it's a need to have, your solution becomes a need to have. And that's what I set out to create. And that's what I would recommend all people looking in the mirror and saying, what path am I on? Am I on the path of becoming the number one solution to a real problem in this world? There's a great documentary on Netflix. It's called Sprint, which is coming up. You know, we got the Olympics. It's all about the best sprinters in the world. And let me tell you, every single one of those sprinters, the Americans, the Jamaicans, because they're the two fastest in the world right now, like they are just the best sprinters across the board. Like probably 8 of the top 10 are from those two countries. And they want to become the number one sprinter in the world. That's all they want. Because if they become the number one sprinter in the world, they are going to crush it financially. The gold medalist from the Olympics in the 100-meter dash is going to become really rich, and the silver medalist, not so much. And guess what? The fraction of a millisecond will decide that race, but it will be exponential, the different revenue of those two individuals. Unbelievably exponential. By the way, they're not solely motivated by money, but guess what? That is a result of them being number one. And then now they can take that money, invest in themselves, maybe stay number one for longer because they don't have to go get some other job. Or maybe they can invest in their children, in their family, or in their future, because they're always going to be able to run 100 meters because we all grow older and things change, of course. And that's the exact same analogy that you need to be looking at and whatever it is that you're deciding to do, because the number one solution is so much better than the number two to infinity, because people will beat a path to the doorstep of the number one solution to a real problem that they have. They will find you and they will ignore the second best solution to infinity. They won't care because nobody wants that. They want the best.
What's the biggest lie you've been told about entrepreneurship?
That's a really good question. So the biggest lie that I've been told is follow the herd. I was told that by a lot of people, by the way. I hired a business coach, a podcast business coach. I hired a mastermind leader and I joined a mastermind. And they all told me to follow the herd. They said, John, everybody's doing a once a week podcast. You should do a once a week podcast because that's what everybody's doing. So you should just fall in line, do what everybody else is doing because that is what is working. And I said, but if I do what everybody else is doing, then how am I going to stand out? How am I going to be different? How am I going to get ahead? And by the way, I'm not going to get ahead because I'm worse than all of those people at that thing called podcasting because I've never done it before. So I'm just going to be the 10th best or the 100th best. Like that's not going to work. So I ignored that because that was a lie to follow the herd. And I instead said, I am going to go the opposite way. I'm not going to do one a week. I'm not going to do two a week. I'm going to do 7 episodes a week. I'm going to be the first daily podcast interviewing the world's most successful entrepreneurs. And that was the only reason why Entrepreneurs on Fire exploded. And it wasn't day one, but it was shortly afterwards because I was the only game in town. I was the number one solution to a real problem. The day that I launched, I was the best daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. I was the worst daily podcast in the world interviewing entrepreneurs. I was the only daily podcast in the world interviewing entrepreneurs. I was the number one solution to a real problem because there was a lot of people like me before Entrepreneurs on Fire that wished something like that existed and it didn't. So I created it and I filled that void that existed. And that was so key. So you need to be polarizing. You must be controversial. You have to remember that it's love me or hate me because there's no money in the middle.
Oh, I love that. It's very apt too with the Olympics. Nike released an ad saying winning isn't for everybody. And that ad does sound polarizing to some people, but there's this rule. It's going to piss off 80% of the people, but 20% of the people watching that ad are going to be more tied to the brand because of that mentality.
See, I love it. I love that. I'm like, dang right is for winners and I'm a winner. That's my brand. And now I'm just automatically thinking Reeboks are for losers. That's kind of what they're saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you're saying Nike's for winners, you're saying Reeboks for losers.
Without having to say it, right.
Reebok, get your game together.
Fantastic. Well, JLD, thanks so much for being on The Ginny Show. Thank you for joining me today. Your time and attention are something I am so, so grateful for. This podcast is a production of Ginny Media. If you had fun, please subscribe and leave us a review. I'm Ginny Sarasvati. See you next time. And remember, The Ginny Show isn't for everyone.